Willie Mays, arguably the greatest player in baseball history, died recently at the age of 93. His former manager, Leo Durocher, once described Mays as the perfect baseball player. He did the five things that you have to do to be a superstar: hit, hit with power, run, throw, and field. In 1951, at the age of 19, Willie Mays made his major league debut with the New York Giants. After a slow start, he went on to win the National League Rookie of the Year Award and helped the Giants to the World Series after a dramatic playoff victory over the Brooklyn Dodgers. In a 23-season career that ended in 1973, Mays was a two-time National League MVP and a 24-time All-Star. He had a career batting average of .302, led the National League in home runs four times, and finished with 660 home runs, tops in the National League, and second only to Babe Ruth's 714 at that time. Mays is most remembered and celebrated for what many claim is the greatest play in baseball history. In the top of the eighth inning of the first game of the 1954 World Series between the New York Giants and the Cleveland Indians, the Indians' Vic Wertz hit a towering drive over the head of Mays in center field that would have scored tied at 2-2, and runners on first and second base would have given the Indians the lead and a likely win. Mays took off, and running with his back to the ball, made a spectacular over-the-shoulder catch over 400 feet from home plate. The Giants went on to win the game and eventually the World Series. Known in baseball history as the catch, Mays' spectacular play inspired classic books by two baseball writers who saw Mays' game-saving catch. Arnold Hano, after watching the game in the center field stands, wrote A Day in the Bleachers, one of baseball's best fan books. Hano's dramatic description of the catch became the centerpiece of the book, but he also gave an entertaining account of the quirkiness and comradeship that he discovered in his day with the bleacher bums. Charles Einstein, who was sitting in the press box for the first game of the 1954 World Series, went on to write Willie's Time, Baseball's Golden Age, the only baseball book nominated for the Pulitzer Prize. Both history and biography, Willie's Time, first published in 1979, captures Mays' life and career through the turbulent years of five American presidents, beginning with Truman and ending with Nixon. An accomplished historian, Einstein was particularly adept at drawing parallels between Mays' career and the Civil Rights Movement, pointing out, for example, that 1954, the year of the catch, was also the year that the Supreme Court handed down its Brown versus the Board of Education decision. It was also the year when two major league teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox, did not, as yet, have an African-American ballplayer. In 2004, Writing Baseball, the Southern Illinois University Press series, published a reprint of Willie's Time on the 25th anniversary of the book's publication. The reprint included a new preface by Charles Einstein, in which he commented on the state of baseball since Willie Mays was a central figure in the game's golden age. 25 years after he wrote Willie's Time, Einstein was troubled by the current state of baseball, especially its greed, and concerned about its future. But he had no doubt that baseball would survive as long as it stayed connected to the glory of its past. At the conclusion of Willie's Time, Einstein quoted a St. Louis writer who once said, "To watch Mays play baseball was to watch Rembrandt paint or hear Caruso sing." With an infectious personality that earned him the Say Hey moniker, Mays was also once described in the Sporting News as the soul of springtime. Up until the time of his death, Mays remained the soul of springtime and a reminder of the greatness of the game at a time when integration opened the door for baseball immortals like Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and so many more to come. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.